So welcome back to the second part of our wonderful Sunday session.
Saturday.
Saturday session, October 10th. I think it is.
October 9th, 2021. I'll pull out my calendar. Tomorrow, but I'm sure there's something big going on tomorrow.
There is.
See?
You're right. Okay. So
you know, for Teresa, we don't give supplements. We're careful with that. But you know, they say that milk thistle is an amazing support for regenerative working liver. Just FYI.
What is that? Milk?
Milk thistle.
You know that,
and also for the GI tract.
Uh-huh.
Because milk thistle is for the liver, and there's other things that are for the GI tract, but have no doubt, when you're supporting the liver, you're supporting the GI tract, because the liver is part of the GI tract. Mm-hmm. Actually, very much so. And the intestines and liver are so connected together. But who would think that the liver and kidneys are so connected together? And who would think that the liver and the heart are so connected together?
What a surprise, right? It's in our bodies.
Well, but I mean, there's,
I mean, direct, think about it.
But there's direct actual veins, right? There's actually direct veins that go from them directly to the liver.
Valentina.
Okay. The one thing that's useful to know about milk thistle is that silymarin, which is the active component or an active component, coats liver cells, and it has a protective function against toxins, and that's how it helps the liver. But it does mean that if you're also taking other liver useful herbs, you want to take them not at the same time as milk thistle, because that coating activity means that other dandelion, any of the bitters, blah, 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 you don't want to take them at the same time, because it will kind of slow the action or keep those liver, let's say, purging herbs from being as useful, because they will coat the liver cells. Just separate milk thistle from any other liver active herbs. And if you're buying a liver formula, if it has milk thistle in it, know that you might want to look at other formulae.
That's
really helpful.
Important. Thank you, Valentina.
Yeah.
So if someone was taking an oral medication, would that be the same situation?
An oral liver medication?
An oral medication that goes through the liver, right?
Yeah, it probably could change the clearance rate, maybe. That I don't know. You know, there are books out there, can't think of one off the top of my head, that discuss interactions between herbal medicines and patent medicines, medical medicines, or you could even probably just Google that question. You know, I only know it in terms of the interrelationship of other plant-based medicines.
Wow. Thank you.
It's just a thing, a little thing.
Not a little thing. That's a
important,
big, really important, right. Valentina. Yeah. Thank you. You know how they say, if you're on a blood pressure medication or whatever, don't take a grapefruit. right? Because it can make it go even, medication become even more potent, right? And it can dose the person. So these are really important things to know. We have to be very careful when we're telling people things that when we know a little bit, someone like Valentina knows a lot. And
well, and people think if something is natural or plant-based, it's a lot of people do more is better, which is not a good idea. You know, it does help to understand what you're looking at. And two authors that I can recommend are Dr. Carrie Bone.
Let me write it. Hold on. Okay. Dr. Carrie, C-A-R-R-I-E?
K-E-R-R-Y.
Bone. Oh, K-E-R-R-Y. Bone. How do you spell her name? B-O-N-E?
B-O-N-E, Australian gentleman. And the late Dr. Duke, whose first, James, I think, was his first name. And, is it called the Herbal Pharmacy or something like that? But he was a very good herbal researcher whose research was along those lines, you know.
And what was Dr. Carrie Bone's book?
I'll go get it out of the garage and chime in later, or on the next break, I'll go get what I can recommend and I'll share it.
Okay, good. And I just wrote that as a beginning in the chat. And if we could, that would be fantastic.
And I would add that the same thing goes with essential oils. Mm. And a lot of people indiscriminately take essential oils orally. And you definitely, especially in terms of the liver, which has to clear them, you need to know what you're doing.
Wow.
Don't mess around.
Well, then you know when we know what we're doing? When we do tea touch.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Of course. Of course.
Whew, that is great. Oh my gosh. Valentina.
Thank you so much. And the thing that's so interesting, it's like, wow, listening to different people's experiences when you have an overview like that you have, Valentina, and some of our other healthcare providers here have, is really fantastic. You know, and so Jennifer is another one. And we have, thank you so much for sharing all of this. And I love the potential of the interactive stuff in that, Teresa, all the stuff that you've done over all these years and how you've managed to function with this smile.
I am an iron woman.
Get it. We get it.
To get that laugh out. Sorry. That just
That's great.
Valentina, go ahead.
Sorry. This is apolitical, but I do think it's important. You mentioned Tylenol, which is actually...
Well, I changed it. I
brand name.
I meant Advil.
But when I see online and on television that Dr. Fauci's recommendations for self-care for the onset of COVID are go home and take Tylenol till you feel so bad that you go to the hospital.
What?
I would simply say that is not an ideal recommendation for self-care. And you might, you know, try to find online information about other ways of taking care of yourself than taking Tylenol. Just saying.
Okay, and I thought that Tylenol in that case for that viral infection was the worst thing to take, because when I had it, they were saying, do not take it. Do not take it. That can actually exacerbate it.
So this right? is a really helpful discussion actually to have, to hear two different COVID situations because you had it really bad. And so that's pretty interesting, isn't it?
Yep. Well, wouldn't touch it.
all of the information on Tylenol packaging is they are very serious about staying within the recommended dosage because people have died of liver failure from the more is better mentality with that particular drug.
Right.
So helpful. Actually, this is quite a helpful discussion, I think, from your personal experiences. That's what we can always say. And wow, read the label, eh?
Read the label and talk to people.
Jennifer has another website in the chat. Let's put another website. Jennifer.
And maybe, Linda, maybe what we can do is copy the chat. If I don't know, would you guys like if we copy the chat and send it to all of you? We'll give it to Kirsten to send to the list.
Yeah, it's a good idea. She does that always on Tuesdays. It gets
okay. So can somebody remind me, please, at the end of our third hour that I copy it?
Yeah, we will.
Okay, good.
But we have to copy it actually each time because it ends.
Oh,
the recording ends, right?
Oh, good one, Linda. Okay, hold on. I'm going to go to right now, save chat.
Yeah. And perhaps while we're here, because this opportunity for us all to share in this way is, you know, it is such a treasure because there's so many various possibilities and to hear, you know, what's worked for people, what the training is. Eleanor, what do you think of having Jennifer talk about what she put in the chat?
Yes, please go ahead. And while you're doing that, I'm also making sure I'm making a second copy for myself.
Okay, so I put in a couple of links to websites that discuss drug-herb interactions. And I was specific about milk thistle, but you can kind of take it out of that specific reading and go to the general one. I'm Mayo Clinic and the National Institute for Health, and they've got really good resources for checking drug-herb interactions. And then I also put in the name of the book that Valentina was referring to, Essential Safety Guide for Herb, Essentials for Herb Safety, something like that. It's an excellent book, although it's more intended for herbalist professionals, but good to check. And then I put in Stephen Bodner's website link. He is an absolutely brilliant human being and brilliant herbalist. So he has been very generous with his knowledge when COVID started, and he's continued with writing articles about what people can do, like what it is, how it works from his perspective, and the herb formulas and other supplements you can take to prevent and to treat. So, I mean, it's always an individual decision, but anyway, that's the information that's there if you want it. I source herbs from Finlandia Herb Pharmacy in Vancouver. They use organically grown or sustainably wildcrafted. And, you know, for you in the States, you can also find really good herb sources. And he's got two excellent books out, Herbal Antivirals and Herbal Antibacterials. He's got many other books, like The Secret Teachings of Plants, for example, Meditating with the Plants. But those are the herbal viral and herbal antibacterial are intended both for professionals and for the novices. Very good resources.
So my question to you is, if a person takes the herbal antibacterial, is it the same that it'll kill the good bacteria too?
Not in my experience.
I wonder how that happens. How does it know to go for what's not needed in the body and not touch the ones that are needed?
You know, really good professional herbal medicine, it's kind of like the body. The body has an intelligence of its own, and the herbs sort of have an intelligence of their own, although you've got to understand better how they work. You would not, if you have anything serious going on, you would not self-prescribe medications. Do not self-prescribe herbal medicine, because in it at its most effective, especially when you're buying therapeutic grade herbs, it's having a chemical reaction, which is the idea. However, they also, they're of nature and they work with nature. So in terms of the antibacterials, I've never had the experience where it knocks out the ones that you want as well as the ones you don't want.
That's the intelligence of the plants and our bodies, phenomenally.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Jennifer, in the chat, did you is that true that website, it has like 20 lines almost to?
I'm so sorry about that. I just quickly got Carrie Bone's book list and then picked out the essentials. And that link is what I got when I just wanted to copy that specific information. So then below that, I wrote in the name of the book and the author. So just ignore that particular link. Sorry.
Okay.
I didn't realize that you were going to do that.
Maybe we want to erase that. Yeah, I don't know if we can.
Well, anyway. No, it's okay, because all I did was I clicked it, Linda. And I'll show you, it's actually quite lovely. So I'm glad that she did that. Okay. because this is what it showed. It showed your whole page that you were looking at. It shows all of these.
Right.
Right. Okay. So thank you. No, that's good.
Right.
So would you like some tea touch for the liver? All right. Now, I will say, there's a short story, and it goes something like this. In my early 30s, when I gave birth to my younger, no, I take it back, my mid-20s, when I gave birth to my first son, I got what was called bilirubinitis. That's what they called it. So I got a kink between the gallbladder and the intestines, and I didn't feel well. My gallbladder and gut was twisted and kinked. It's a baby, right? And so, and I was not feeling well. And then I was really not feeling well. And then I was really not feeling well. And then one day, you know, I'm telling my husband, I don't know, something's not right. Not feeling well. And then one day I go, aha, here's my proof. My poop is white. It was just perfectly white. And I'm like, that's not okay. What's my gallbladder doing? There's no bile. Bile is what makes the poop lovely brown, right? It's green. It mixes with everything and it makes your poop come out brown. So I went to Dr. Whitaker, an amazing holistic MD. He was local here. And he's like, oh, no worries. He gave me a good dose of vitamin C, and he gave me a high fiber intestinal choline cleanser, you know, to drink to get everything going. And he says, I promise you that within a day, you'll notice a difference. Within 3 days, you will be completely back to normal. And it was true. And ever since then, I was utterly fascinated with the liver and gallbladder. Utterly, because it could be so fast. You know, it could be a mechanical kink, right? So, or it can be a chemical situation. So, move forward is none of the women in my family, except my mother. My mother was just the oddball out. Nothing ever bothered her. She just kept on ticking. But the rest of us are delicate little butterflies in my whole genetic lineage on my father's side. And we all were thin because none of us could handle eating fatty foods because we felt nauseous. We felt icky. And one day I'm doing tea touch along my liver. And I'm working and I'm lying in bed because at 11 o'clock every night, I got nauseous. And it was a running joke that my husband would say, "That's because I'm near," meaning he's near to me. And I'm like, "Steve, it's not funny. I really get nauseous whether you're near me or not." I love my husband dearly. I want him near me. But at 11 o'clock, when I hit fatigue time, I got nauseous. So when I started to do the T-touch along my liver, and I was just taking the pads of my fingers, sometimes I'll go this way, but mostly it's just taking the pads of the fingers. And I would go circle in a quarter and go along the liver. And then the closer I got up to the gallbladder, so the gallbladder is up the right side, midline, and tucked under, usually, for most people. When I would get along the gallbladder, I would get a wave of nausea at 11 p.m. Linda, I never told you this story. This was like 20-something years ago. And so anyway, I thought, okay, I had a talk with myself, probably a Louise Hay talk, you know, and I'm like, I'm going to give you a few days of positive talk while I'm doing the T-touch along the area of the liver that I can touch that feels really good. Then, sorry, I would issue, Maya, you want that? Okay. So I would support with one hand, like the abalone, the gallbladder, and the rest, I would take the raccoon and touch the other part of the liver. And within less than a week, the nausea went away, and I never had the 11 p.m. nausea again. Now, knowing me, I'm going to test it. So I ate butter the next day. I ate something with fat in it. And I'm like, check this out. I'm like other people. I can eat the fatty foods and not be nauseous. And I went, darn, am I going to gain weight? But I taught my cousin how to do this because she suffered much worse than me. And so, and for her, it really was her gallbladder. We have different mothers, different fathers, but from my father's genetic lineage, right? So, and they all had intestinal issues. So you see how the intestines, gallbladder, liver are so tied in together. So what I'm saying is, it's like Moshe Feldenkrais's idea of, it's about making what seems like the impossible possible, right? And the possible thinkable, and the thinkable doable, and we'll make it magnificent. And that's the supportful touch that T-Touch does. Because for me, it was life-changing that I can go out to restaurants. I can eat what I want to eat because I make good choices anyway, but I don't have to eat a almost no-fat diet. I can eat everything that, because the gallbladder can work well. Now, that being said, if during the break you went and had a snack, be respectful of your gallbladder when we go there, okay? Because your gallbladder stores the bile that's made in the liver. And right now, if you had a snack, it's busy plopping out little bits of bile into the very beginning of the small intestines to digest the food that's coming out from the stomach. Make sense? It's busy. So don't interfere in its busyness is my suggestion. But if you want, and you're a curious person like me, you could check it out and notice what you notice. And that's good conversation too. And so, sorry, I dare not move because I have a little Chinese kitty in my lap. This is like, this never happens. Yep. Okay.
look at. I want my dog.
Does everybody have their animals?
Griffin, come.
Yeah, this is T-touch, people, and I'm loving it. Okay, so let's go along the right lobe. Oh, look at that beautiful mackerel eyes. Yes.
What?
Okay. So I think it's a mackerel when it has the M on that. Valentina's kitty has a right an M right here on the forehead. Is that an M? Oh, no. Just two stripies on your eyebrows. Maybe. Oof. Beautiful. Soft and fluffy. Okay. So we take the raccoon touch and we start up here on the upper lobe. And because
where the nipples used to be, behind where the nipples used to be, right?
To the right of where the nipples used to be. I don't like even getting under my nipple area. I like to stay for me. And I notice that with my clients too. Here, there, no. Wait, up and over. So it's the, you know, hey, we got to move our parts. I mean, guys got to move other parts and the women will move other parts. So we go to the right of it because we can get directly on to the liver. In other words, right there under the bones. And so the touch is light. Learn, because the lighter you do the touch, the more you'll be able to notice if you feel good inside too. Because some people may notice a sensation inside. You don't have to notice a sensation inside, but you can work. So it's circle and a quarter. And that quarter goes back upward. It's an immediate sigh. That the liver, and go all the way around on the right side.
And Eleanor, if I may suggest something, if you have trouble taking your arm back, instead of attempting to use the tips of the raccoon, you can use the side of your just the very side of your finger like this, supported by the thumb. And there, you can just get the same point that you can get with the tips. And it's easier for my hand turned back.
And go lightly. Does anyone notice that they get maybe a sense of nausea? Is anybody getting a sense of nausea at all by the touch? You guys are so amazing. Good for you.
Yes, Maya. Good for them. Yo, yo, yo.
Okay. That, I know. I ate my lunch too fast. So you find where it works. And for me, I'm going to take, what do we call this area, Linda?
Sea elephant, elephant seal.
Elephant seal, oh my God, I love elephant seal. And the elephant seal, you can support it around the gallbladder, right? So the gallbladder goes halfway through the ribs on the right side, and then it's tucked under. So put the elephant seal and support the elephant seal and support the gallbladder area there, and then continue to work in whatever way, lightly, lightly, because the organs listen with light touch. They can sense, and we can increase the functioning, the quality of the functioning. Some people will call it motility, right? So mobility is the ability for the organ to move. Motility is the organ, really. It's like that inhalation. Hold on, I need to let my doggy in. 1 sec. Sorry, Maya.
So while she's letting her doggy in, if you, like you, as you move back, depending upon, you know, your ability to move your arm, you can just use different parts of the side here. And if I just have the finger stuck out like that, it's not stable, but I stabilize it with the thumb. And so I can get very specific touches. Look it, we've got another helper.
I always have helpers. Okay, yes, thank you. Okay. Yeah, whenever Linda's on, Hani has to be part of it. So she hears Linda's voice and then she's right in the screen. She goes, I want to be in the class. I know I hear you. And so it doesn't take much. Now go ahead and move the elephant seal and go ahead and do the touch around the gallbladder, right? So the gallbladder. Yeah. What about, what is she saying? Picking up boobage. One sec.
What's that?
I don't know. Boobage. I'm looking. What about picking boobage up with the right hand and tea touching? With your left? Yeah. I'm like, I got to move doggage, you know. Go ahead and go around the gallbladder and see, circle in a quarter. Do you notice something in the throat? Do you notice a sensation that's stimulating something? Yeah. So you see how light the touch can be, because you're actually working above the rib cage and the sensation is happening all the way through. That's the amazing part. Jennifer, yes, go ahead.
That is so interesting, because in Chinese medicine, one of the signs of liver qi stagnation is plum pit feeling in the throat, like you can't express yourself. So interesting.
Okay, so say that again.
So one of the signs of liver qi stagnation in Chinese medicine, which erupts as anger and irritation and menstrual disorders and so forth, is this feeling of what we call plum pit, but it's this feeling in the throat that there's stuckness and that you can't express yourself. So that's so interesting. I've never had that connection before, but I could feel it going up.
I felt, and see, and I'm thinking, I felt a stuckness right here, not up here, right here in my throat. And I thought, huh, I never felt that before. But you know what? I was cranky at the end of this last week, and that's not my nature. And I couldn't shake off why I was cranky. I was like irritable, I guess. But I thought, that's interesting. I wonder where that's coming from. And I went, oh, I haven't been getting enough sleep.
Well, and there's something else, Eleanor, that it could be, because you inhaled some of those fumes from the oil spill, and it really affected you, and you were coughing like crazy, and you couldn't stop coughing.
I forgot.
Interesting what that does to your
body. So, you know, in California, we had, in Southern California, a sizable oil spill. And last Saturday night, we did not know that there was an oil spill till Sunday. But Saturday night, we're out on the island, and we're out in Balboa Island off of Newport Beach, and we're walking, and we're not anywhere near being able to get back home. And the smell was of gasoline, diesel, acetone, turpentine. And it was like literally had to cover with this, and it was like a 4 mile walk or 3 mile walk to get back in that. Oh, thank you. I forgot about that. I do tend to let things go really fast and then like, oh, I couldn't figure out why. That's a lot on the liver. That's
right.
A lot.
So, Eleanor, if I say, as you're doing this, just allow different parts of your hand to make that connection as you move. And like, you can hold your boob up, but you could also tuck it up with the side of the thumb, the elephant seal, and then use like other parts to touch, just other parts to go and do the touch, if depending upon how mobile you are. So Razia has a question in the chat as we're doing this. Razia, if you could speak, that would be great.
Oh, I see.
Sorry. No, I just was getting this book from my bookshelf, and he is very famous in Switzerland. Yeah, because he wasn't actually a medical doctor. He wasn't studied, but he has traveled the whole world and visited many cultures and learned from them. And so he got a title which is called Dr. Hotze. And in his book, there is a big part about the liver also.
Thank you, Rasia. I want to continue the sensation, Linda, if it's okay, because I don't want to go out into too much conversation. If we can go back into taking our hands in every way that feels right, trust yourself, explore, and go around the liver. And remember, the liver comes over to the left. And when you go over to the left, your body may beckon you there, or it may say, I'm okay, please stay on the right where the majority of the liver is. So for example, for me, my liver really enjoys the circle and a quarter touches on the right side. It's like a little more. It's like, you know, scratch me right here all the time on the back. So it's the, you know, you may enjoy that. And I'm sure that they will begin to understand one lobe tends to communicate with another lobe, does another, and how it supports. But so just if you do that, and let's spend a moment just quiet, going around the liver, noticing your breath.
And really using your breath to go, to imagine going in there with your, like, really imagining sending your breath in all cell to cell with the T-touch. Start it with the T-touch and then just like send your breath in.
And if you can take it, even if it's possible, a few times to the backside. Your liver is on your backside.
Yeah. You can turn your
hand. And maybe it's just a few times, right? Just a few times so you don't get too sore and then you can come back. But acknowledge it. And then slowly let your hands down and just rest for a moment. And notice what your organ that is your largest solid organ in your body feels like on that right side. Is there more of a awareness of yourself on the right side? Everything about yourself. And then go ahead and give a little bit of this loving touch over to the left if you would like. Yes, Lauren, we're going to just stay with the movement right now, if that's okay with you, please.
I just want a question about it.
Okay.
Do you go slower if your liver is overactive?
I'm not going to give that answer because I wouldn't be right. I want you to explore what feels right for you. It's the thing about this work is it's not a black and white or right and wrong. You go in and you check it and notice, and then go quicker, notice that. And then go slower and notice that. That's the best answer. Because anybody that gave an answer to that question would be making that up. And you don't want someone to make up stuff because that's then man-made. We want it to be real, real. And that's the thing about the beauty of this work. We sense, we notice. And then we create that positive talk. Linda, give us a part with a talk of the love of the connection between ourselves as we do this at our speed that feels right for us in the moment we're doing it.
And one of the things I think is interesting is that consider putting your heart in your hand. And then with your hand touching with heart to liver. And the breath is so much a part of it. Just, and the smile. Because we want to keep that serotonin activated. So smile. I think it's one of the perhaps challenges that we have when we work with ourselves and we're thinking of this stuff. We're thinking, feel the smile and say, wow, I appreciate you. Without the smile, it's an interesting exercise, but it won't reach the liver in a way that will help. And be careful, you know, move your arms a little bit and help with one or the other and move your body a little and then go back. And slowly, like, reach up there and feel and send in that message. And Razia, where's your smile? Smile at your liver. Really. Smile. Smile at the fact that we can all do this together across the world, the worlds, and find out which part of your hands can help you get there.
And you know what's so nice, Linda? There's something in the smile and that loving kindness that, and to Jennifer, that I notice that quiets that lump when I get to the gallbladder. Or that part of the liver, right? That area. Yeah, I can check it out and go, oh, I don't want to use the word improvement, but there's a change in that, a change in the quality of that.
Now, as I was working down here, I can feel a sensitivity, so I have to be really gentle there.
Very. I mean,
we're talking a one pressure.
A one, a whisper. And then, Linda, the one is what? The touch on the
lightest, the lightest contact it takes to move the skin on the eyelid in a circle on a quarter. And if you support one elbow with the other hand, as you get that, and just use one finger to move the skin on your lip, support your right elbow. So you don't have to hold your hand up there, Eleanor. Your left hand is supporting, your right. And then whisper, it's like a whisper. How can I whisper to this? And then send this in. Imagine a little spiral and a little T-touch inward, but with the inward, it's not really more pressure, it's an intention. It's like, here. And marvel, what I'm imagining is that drawing that we saw with the two connections, the blood connections going in there, and actually, wow, making a connection with that. Interesting.
And you know, I love giving thanks. When you taught us about being thankful, giving thanks, it's like to give thanks to my organ for all that it does, and that I can give thanks. Yeah, that puts a smile on my face without me thinking of smiling. Because I'm thankful, and that thankfulness, that act of gratitude, that thankfulness of the amazing job that this does, brings a smile to my face and makes me not have to think of anything I need to do in any specific way. Anna, I love seeing your enthusiasm. I keep looking at you. And then just slowly let your hands come down and rest. And what do you notice if you were to imagine a color around your abdomen, around your ribs? Would it be solid? Would it be translucent? Would it be a light color, dark color? What does that image come for you? Oh, Valentina.
When you mentioned color, it's just always been funny to me that while a number of medical doctors think that color as therapy and colored light as therapy is just hippie woo-woo-ness, yet still every neonatal ward in most of our hospitals, if babies are born jaundiced with livers that are a little wonky, they put them under blue light. They bilirubin them, bilirubin light. And it works. So for all the people that say color and light has nothing to do with working with your organs, I just think, seriously? You know, Billy lights? Excuse me.
Well, so that's interesting. And how did they come up? Is it the wavelength of the light? Is it incandescent now, or is it, what kind of, do you know? Maybe it doesn't matter.
We'd have to talk to any of our nurses who would know, or neonatal people. I don't know. I just know that Billy lights are what everybody does for yellow babies when they're born. Now, in color theory, blue and yellow are across from each other on the color wheel. Is it blue and yellow, or is it blue and orange?
No, I think it's blue and yellow, because orange is blue and red and yellow. So your blue primary orange,
yellow, purple.
So maybe in some way it does have to do with wavelength of the color, but and I'd be interested to know if, when you asked the question about color with the liver, if anybody felt blue.
Yes.
You see the color of Ava's shirt? Ava, come back in front. That was the color, but translucent, see-through, like glass. That was the color that came up for me. And for normally, I get red and orange warmth like the sunshine, which I love, but this time after doing this, it was like Ava's shirt, but translucent, like glass or something.
Well, it's really interesting with this, yeah, this concept of color. Eleanor and I talked about talking about this, because years ago in the 80s, I went to a well-known ophthalmologist And just to, what could I do to, you know, to exercise, improve my eyes? And he had me look in a kaleidoscope and he asked me, which are my favorite colors? And at the time they were purple and green. And he said, oh, that's interesting. So how do you feel about red and orange? I said, ah, I cannot stand them. And he said, well, until you learn to really accept those colors and work with all colors, you will not be grounded. You're, because of the red is your root chakra. And it was really true. I was definitely not grounded at the time. And that purple thing, green is great because I consciously used it when giving presentations, because it's a color, and it said when you wear green, when you give a presentation, that it's the color of nature and people cannot attack you. Blue is considered the color of conversation. So when it's so interesting from that perspective, how you see, talking, you know, connecting, talking with the liver. I mean, it's so interesting playing with these various colors, which over the years then I did, and now I could eat, I could live in red and orange. And it's a really interesting questions how our color affects us around us.
I would love, maybe if you don't mind, if we can do it kind of easily, to ask each person if a color came up for them to just unmute, and we'll go like one at a time. Would you all be willing if I just call your name and unmute you to say your color? If you had a color, and was it opaque? Was it dark? Was it light? Was it translucent? Did it glow? Give a thing. So I'm going to ask, I have to ask Harriet, but you have to unmute yourself if you're there. Oh, good, you're there.
I'm here. No, I didn't get a color.
Okay, good. So you just, what did you notice?
There was different ones. I've had a lot of gurgling, like stomach activity from the beginning of doing the touches. And then at one point I started to get nauseated, so I stopped. But I've had a lot of digestive activity from the very beginning of touching my liver.
Yeah, it goes to show that less is more, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Diane Giddings.
Actually, as I was over the solar plexus area, I saw the lighter yellow. So as we were just doing the T-touches over that area. So.
Very good. Thank you. And then Teresa.
Actually, I had a blue, very light blue coming like that. But I have to say that I have to do everything with my left hand because of my shoulder. I couldn't move it in that position. And I did it with the, help me, this part, really. And I was.
Which part? This,
elephant
seal.
Elephant seal, sorry.
What? And I thought you were using that. Wait, let's. You mean your little finger or the thumb? I can't tell.
No.
The little finger. So
from this part.
Schnecke, the.
The bananas.
Bananas. Right.
Bananas. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Right. It's a name label day problem for me today. Sorry.
And well, then, it's kind of fun to bring it in. Let me ask, were you curving the little finger?
It was first this part and then curving the finger. And then with the fingers, I did some raccoon.
Cool.
It was, that's what, because I couldn't do it with the right arm. And I think it's very good. And I feel
let's bring the animals in here to our group here, all these different parts. Sorry,
Thank you, Teresa. Tyra, I need to ask to unmute. If you can unmute yourself, did you have a color, a sensation, a notice when you were working along the liver?
I saw a pale pink. And the sensation, sometimes it would feel like it was kind of hard and sometimes kind of soft. And when I finished, there was a sensation of lightness.
That's nice. Wow, thank you. Oh, thank you. Lily, I need you to unmute yourself. Thank you.
Well, I got to get a little confused if you meant color or a dog's color. So I saw a purple ribbon around my chest, around the liver, and it was really light. It was nice. It's like when you cuddle a baby, but then with this purple ribbon. It was great.
Beautiful. Valentina.
I saw a color, but not one that we see in the outside world. It's more one of those colors that you see on the inside of your eyelids. So it's like a greeny purple with orange undertones and flashes of pink.
Well, at least you were able to describe that, because when I get it from another world, I'm like, I can't get the, I don't even, blah, 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 right?
Yeah. And by the time you've seen it, to start going, well, what colors are within it, it's gone.
Yes.
Because there's usually movement within the colors as well. So, you know, shimmery, twinkly stuff, princess, you know, unicorn stuff.
I actually call them angel colors because I can't get there isn't a name. And I realize those are the colors of angels when I've seen them. They're that.
My friend who's a astrologer says they're Aquarian colors, and I'm a poster child for that, she says.
Oh. Okay, Anna.
Yesterday, I was on the ferry going from Bainbridge to Seattle, and I decided, because when I study a lot about our health, oftentimes I'm hearing when I take a shower, I should always go into a cold shower. And I'm like, no. So on the ferry, because now everyone has to be masked up, if you're upstairs where it's all outside with the sky, you don't have a mask. So of course, that's what I've been doing. And I was out there. I saw the crescent moon just ready to, you know, settle down in the horizon. I got to see Venus that has just moved into the, you know, a little further away. And I realized the color of the moon, and I've been singing to the moon since I've been a little girl. I have my own little song I was singing to the moon. But with the sun had just set, and the color of the moon was just so beautiful. It was this beautiful orange. And I thought to myself, and I have been singing to the moon. I was like, girl, the sun, it is your lifeline. You love garlic. You love everything organic. And it comes out of the best soil and the sun. So I was just like, I radiate that color because that is my aura. That is my lifeline, the sun. It gives me the most healthiest food. And, you know, I want to, because I was looking for orcas, because now that I'm doing the orca breath every moment of my existence, I drive a car and I am doing the orca breath. I mean, I'm breathing in and I'm always doing it so I can be really calm and look around and make sure that I'm seeing where I'm going and who's crossing and the magic that Tellington, you know, T-touch, this loving thing. And when I think about Moshe and how I discovered the breath, I mean, I discovered the straw that pierced lips. I work with children around it all the time, but to tie it in to this idea of the circle and a core, the idea of the spiral. And I have been drawing spirals again every single day. So thank you so much. I mean, to talk about the pancreas and the gallbladder and the liver and what you talked about, the thing that I have never known, and it has been magic since you started talking about the large intestine going up right around our umbilical cord. And when I think about when I do the Tellington T-touch around my umbilical cord, I'm realizing now I've never understood. I'm really connecting with my liver too. I mean, I knew I was doing it on the right, but I never really understood how it really tucked a little bit under the left. So thank you for this wonderful gathering today. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Dilly, did you see colors? Did you send, forgive me for asking, did you see colors? You know, what did you notice?
Yeah, I saw this bright flash of blue and then it was gone. And then I had this beautiful deep yellow translucent, almost with a reddish center. And it was just sort of warmth and life, and it was just beautiful. And what's interesting, after doing these tea touches all around the liver, I can actually breathe better. Does that make sense? My lungs be able to fill easier with air than they could before, which is most peculiar sensation after doing something with the liver. But that was beautiful. Thank you very much, Eleanor.
Fantastic.
And I have your enthusiasm all the time.
My husband's relieved that I can share my enthusiasm with other people aside from just him. I'm like, I'm so excited. You have to hear this. And he's like, he's okay. That's great. Okay, Lauren. Did you have a color?
About color until you asked about color, and then flashed navy, something darker than Valentine's sweater. And then instantly green, a deep green, solid green, and then a dark black, and then red. And the sensation, I had zero sensations, zero feelings, until Linda said, put your heart in your hand, and then the world opened up. Mm-hmm. So from now on, for the rest of my life, Linda, thank you. My heart goes in my hand with the touch. You like changed my world. Thank you.
You know, I'm so thankful that you said that, because there is something so different when we put our heart in our hand, and we don't often talk about that, right? Like, we're like, okay, here's the chimp touch, and here's the raccoon touch, and here's the banana slug, and we're connecting to the animals and giving thanks to the animals. And when we're working on an area that's in need, and we put a heart in our hand, wow. Lauren, I'm going to do that for myself. I mean, it's, you know, so I'm glad that you said that. It's just not something didn't occur to me until Linda brought that up today like that. Because it was very different.
Forever.
Yeah.
Everything yeah. about owl life and my family. Thank you.
How that came up many years ago, I did it with a horse, you know, put your heart in your hand and your hand on your horse. And when you have your heart and your hand in this, and we give that to ourselves, what a treasure.
What a treasure, what a gift. Marnie, can you unmute yourself? Yay, yeah. Marnie!
Well, I didn't see any colors, but working on those areas was kind of a revelation, because years ago I was told by a doctor that they couldn't figure out what was going on with me, and they thought maybe they should just go ahead and remove the gallbladder as a sort of diagnostic movement. And I didn't know better, but I thought maybe not. And luckily, really luckily, I just declined. But this was the first time probably I've been in touch with it ever since we threatened to get rid, you know, I don't know, but there was something really amazing about touching a place that I almost accidentally removed on because doctors couldn't figure out what was going on. And so anyway, it was.
And what did you, Marnie, can I ask, what did you sense? What did you notice? So you got the memory, but also did you sense and notice something was, I don't want to put words into it. Do you know what I'm saying? I want to ask you.
It's more like a presence or you know, which I hadn't really thought about, you know, particularly, and we don't work, that's a hard area to work anyway. You know, it's not one I'm concentrating on my leg these days anyway. And it just, it was kind of astonishing. And I don't, you know, but yeah, it was, I guess it was a memory that mm-hmm. I almost removed it. And now I know, I mean, this is not a surprise. Now I know that would have been, changed my life forever to have done it with, and for no reason except to help a doctor diagnose what was going on. I never got a diagnosis, but I got well, you know, however that worked. It wasn't through medicine, but I, you know, just knowing that I almost removed that, and then to be feeling it was kind of pretty amazing.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you. Thank you very much, Marnie. Is it Eva or Ava? Ava.
Eva. Yeah.
Ava. Okay. I could read your lips.
I must say, for me, it's a brand new world. It's just an experience, and you know, feeling my organs and it's very, and in a way it's familiar because it's structured like an ATM as a Feldenkrais practitioner. And then I see that we're using movement to get connected to an organ that doesn't move. I mean, it doesn't have an articulation and must, and it just, well, I can't say, I cannot even feel anything. I yawned a lot, you know, I felt I was in an ATM and everything was just so new and familiar at the same time, and just amazing. And I yawned a lot. I felt,
And ATM, for those to know, that's in Feldenkrais language, awareness through movement. There's thousands of awareness through movement lessons. And so.
And we are using movement of the arm, movement of the hand, the fingers, and in order to get connected to, you know, to something that is not moving as much. You know,
and remind me, Ava, did you say you saw a color?
No, I couldn't see color. No, I was just, wow.
Wow.
Like I'm entering in a brand new world, in a different dimension that is so unknown to me.
Yeah, welcome.
I don't understand it all, but it's okay, you know.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, Eleanor, if I may suggest, this is so phenomenal for us to have this opportunity to share in this way. And I just, we've gone through another hour, a little more, and I'd love to just take 10 minutes. And it's so wonderful, Martin and Karen, I didn't get to greet you and you came in. It's such a treasure to see you in Austria. And I love having you here with us. So can we take another 10 minute break? And it's 25 after the hour. We'll come back at 35 after. Whatever hour you were in.
Okay, and everybody stay in your place because I don't know how Pam got my Siamese kitty.
I'll write down the next order so we know how to do it. Don't move. You're right. Okay.
See you all in a few. And if you want to break, you know what I would recommend? Please drink.